First, when we think about rural America, the first thing that might pop into our heads is a farm of some sort. And that happens on a policy level, too, as a new federal task force on rural economies puts a heavy emphasis on agriculture.
Our next guest says that's missing a big part of the picture. While farming is an important part of the American rural economy, it's not the only game in town. In fact, in most rural counties, agriculture is not the top moneymaker or the source of jobs.
Tim Merrima joins us now. He's editor of the Daily Yonder and vice president of the Center for Rural Strategies. Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Rob.
Well, you wrote about this in a recent piece, and you kind of started with a recent announcement from a presidential advisor on rural strategies. What did you hear that worried you?
Well, this was in connection with the president's rollout of a plan to study what needs to happen in rural America. And the advisor said to the press, the biggest thing going on in rural, the way to kickstart it, is to focus on agriculture because that's the main driver in rural America. And that's just not true. That's what got me.
Yeah, what do we see? You broke this down by rural county. What do we really see when we look at the economies of rural areas?
Well, agriculture is very important. It's regionally dependent. You know, the Midwest has large swaths of what we'd call farm-dependent counties. And the map that I used for my story is a little bit misleading because it only shows the key largest industry going on in that county. So I imagine for Wisconsin, there's a lot of economic activity in agriculture that's not reflected as the dominant one in a county. So that map's a little bit misleading. But generally, you know, the largest employers everywhere are service sectors in insurance and banking and those sorts of things, not agriculture. So when the advisor said this is the key to the rural economy, that got my hackles up.
Yeah, looking at some different rural counties, what are, apart from what you mentioned, the services, we saw a lot in Wisconsin on your map, recreation being the top driver. In some other rural counties, it might be manufacturing.
That's right. And in fact, before the recession, the areas of the rural economy, the counties in rural America that were doing a little bit better than the others were these recreation counties, or some other people call them high amenity counties. These are places that are, you know, have extraordinary natural assets and fun things for people to do in the great outdoors. They were doing a little bit better because those industries were picking up, and you see that in Wisconsin to some extent. The northern part of the state has a lot of those counties that show up in red, which in my map is recreation. There's manufacturing, there's ag, there's mining, and then there's public sector, which is everything from school teachers to mayors and whatnot.
What do we get wrong, say, in federal policy on rural America if we focus too much on agriculture, if we go in with the assumption that farming is the driver of rural economies?
Well, I think we're going to see this potentially with the White House panel that was put together to look at what does rural America need. It has all ag-related representation. So by default, you're leaving out about 80% of the rural economy. So it doesn't. No matter how good farms do, that's not going to affect say, a county in eastern Kentucky or someplace in North Georgia that just simply does not have those programs that benefit farmers. They're not applicable there. So we're leaving behind a lot of rural America, and it's not necessary. Everybody does better when rural thrives. You know, cities and country people do better. Everybody does better when farmers do better. But to say that one is the exclusive thing that's going to be the silver bullet for an economy is just not true.
So what would a good rural economic development policy look like? What kind of common, and maybe there's not a one-size-fits-all approach, given the variety you talked about, but what would be a good starting point?
Well, you're absolutely right about the one-size-fits-all. And this is kind of a this may be why we think of rural as only agriculture sometimes, is that that's a very clear and organized sector, and they know what they want, and they know how to get it, and farm state senators are very much on their side. It's a lot harder to organize around a lot of different industries for rural, and so we don't hear as much about it. The largest part of the USDA budget is for the nutrition program, for the supplemental nutrition program. Next is the ag program, and way down near the bottom is rural development. And that's where there are programs for rural business development. There are grants and loans for power co-ops and telephone co-ops and broadband deployment, housing loans, those sorts of things that are integral to the economy but not agriculture. So a lot of advocates would say we need to do a balance between ag and more of the rural development type activities.
When I think of an urban economy that's too dependent on one sector, I think of, you know, a place like the Detroit region, which is heavily dependent on automobiles. When that economy changed, the whole region suffered. Is there a similar risk with putting all our eggs in the agriculture basket when we're doing rural development?
Well, for a single region, I don't know. Certainly, you know, we're going to see a much smaller income for farmers in the coming year, like half of what it was in 2013, I believe. And that's going to have an impact. And if farming is your major industry or a major industry, then that's that much less money circulating in the economy. Generally, the Midwest may have issues with that, but generally what's going on with agriculture, at least in most places, is that it's a part-time endeavor. It's not the key income. It's not the main income. It's important. Where I grew up, it was dairy, small dairies. You'd think of it as a cow in your barn, probably, compared to Wisconsin, but and tobacco. And that tobacco money was for Christmas, you know, and you had some money to buy presents, and it was about your quality of life. It wasn't about year-round keeping the family together, especially in the later years.
Talking to Tim Merriman now. He's editor of The Daily Yonder. He's vice president of the Center for Rural Strategies. Talking about rural economies, he's worried that at the federal policy level, people are equating rural with just agriculture, just the farming, and missing a lot of what's actually going on in these local economies. And Tim, have we gotten anything right on these things in the past, or has it always been this way? Have we always been too focused on farming in rural counties?
Well, as you know, 15 years ago, I remember a Republican strategist, Bill Greener, saying, "Well, Congress defines rural as three things: agriculture, agriculture, agriculture." So it's not new. We've made a lot of progress, I think, in talking about rural development in the last, since 2000, really. And then the Obama White House had a rural council of cabinet officials that were looking at a variety of issues and programs that included ag, but was also about quality of life and health care and broadband and economic development outside of ag. The thing that's different here is that this new task force, which is going to evaluate whether they need a White House Rural Council or not, is focused only on ag. That's not exactly new, but it is a pronounced departure from what we've seen for the last couple of presidents.
I wanted to key in on a couple of the issues you just brought up there. You mentioned rural broadband. That's been a big issue, a big debate in Wisconsin about how best to bring high-speed internet to rural areas. And that sounds like an example of something that, would help a farm business. It would also help a hotel or a business startup, that sort of thing. Is that the kind of thing you want to see us focus on more, development that would affect all sectors?
Well, if you want to get rural people to agree on something, bring up broadband, because, buddy, everybody will agree on that. They won't agree on the football game, but broadband they will. I think there's a clear need, and people understand it. And it is like having a road was 100 years ago, or having a telephone. You simply, it's not going to ensure that I sell more tomatoes than you do. It just means I can get them to the market. So you can't even play in the game if you don't have broadband. That's how essential that is. You can't apply for a job generally. It's harder to file your taxes. You can't even get your Social Security statement without online access. Literally, you cannot. And so it's like the telephone. It's like the water system. It doesn't guarantee success, but you know you're going to be in a bad way without it.
You also mentioned rural health care, and we had a couple state lawmakers on not too long ago trying to tackle that issue. A lot of rural communities with few doctors, no doctors in some key specialties like OBGYN, mental health, big regions with maybe only one or no practitioners in certain areas. How important is that for you for state and federal policies?
Well, hospitals, those rural places that have hospitals now, they'll tell you it's a huge economic driver. You've got all that employment, and so beyond the services that it provides, it's an economic engine. And also, if there is industry that's going to come in, you know, they want a place that has those medical services. It's pretty critical. There are a lot of small hospitals in rural areas at risk. Part of that is from changes in how they're reimbursed through the federal healthcare system. Part of that is just sort of structural stuff that's been going on for a long time. But we read about one closing, and there'll be more, undoubtedly.
And, Tim, as we start to wrap up, I wanted to ask your editor of the Daily Yonder. This is my first encounter with your online publication. One of the best names I've encountered. Tell us a little bit about the Daily Yonder and what you're doing there.
Well, we try to cover rural America, which is a big beat. But we cover things that are of interest to rural leaders, rural advocates, rural policymakers, and rural residents. The creator of that name were the founding co-editors, Bill Bishop and Julie Artery, who live down in LaGrange, Texas now. And I will be sure to mention that you like that. I think it's dandy.
Thanks a lot, Tim, for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Tim Merrima, editor of the Daily Yonder and vice president of the Center for Rural Strategies. We've been talking about the economies of rural America. He's saying, he wrote in a recent piece, it's not just about farming. We've got to pay attention to a lot of other sectors in rural America.